Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy Worldwide Wednesday here on Doctor's Orders. I am Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world servicing 14 countries, and I'm really excited to always bring you global news, hence the reason why we created Worldwide Wednesday as one of our daily topics here on the show, Doctor's Orders. If you've been following us for any amount of time, you know that every day is a different segment or a different topic. So, you know, Mondays is Market Monday. Yesterday we had Tech Tuesday, and today is Worldwide Wednesday. Really excited about our guest, as we're going to have Larry Hart on from the Global Chamber on again, talking about just global events and all things global business. And so we will bring him on here momentarily. But in the event that you would like to join our show, or you'd want to join the conversation, you can do so at 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. If you want to send in a message or an email, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that is info@drbaker.us. And so as a business owner, a lot of times it may be uncertain as to what direction we go in, where to find help, where to gain resources. And so my goal in life, from a work standpoint and from this show standpoint, is to help you with those resources, help give you a better perspective on how you view your business, maybe even change your paradigm some on how you see yourself in the world and in the market. And so with that, you know, we're always looking for ways to increase the health of a business. When we talk about global opportunity and global responsiveness, what we're saying is that the world is large overall, but it can be made to be small based on a lot of new technology, resources, initiatives that take place, that world events, world initiatives, all of those things can grow your business. And so as a business owner, I want you to pay attention to things that are happening globally. So whether that's in the news, whether that is through a technology that you've seen, whether there's relationships that you're making, organizations you can join, make sure that you are open-minded to what expanding the doors of your business could mean. And that may not mean that you have global clientele, but you might get solutions from someone else that might be a strategic partner of yours that's located elsewhere. Or it could, in fact, mean that you have clientele in other places, which increases your bottom line. Or it could mean that you create another brick-and-mortar location and therefore expanding your operation, allowing it to scale. It could mean any of these things, in which all of those aspects would be a benefit to the business. And so in that instance, I want you to think about that even when we engage in dialogue today, is that how do these realities help my business? Do I see myself in any of the conversation that's taking place? So without further ado, I'd like to bring back on the show Larry Hart from the Global Chamber. Larry, how are you today?
I'm great, Doctor. I loved your opening remarks there. We got plenty to talk about, don't we?
And we always do, and you more so than most people know what the benefit of doing global work can do, whether it's just establishing, you know, partnerships and friendships, whether it's information sharing, all of that becomes a benefit. And for the sake of our listeners, maybe some have not heard you before or they're uncertain, can you just walk us through the Global Chamber, what you guys do and what your initiatives are?
Let's do it. Absolutely. So the Global Chamber was started a few years ago, about 6 years ago, by Doug Brunke in Phoenix. And it was in partnership with the Thunderbird School of Global Management, which I think we should talk about, too. I want to talk about that here today as well. And in the end, you know, you think of a typical Chamber of Commerce, and most of us are familiar with the Chamber of Commerce, which tends to be kind of hyper-local, right? It's very local. And I ran a chamber for 8 years, and our job was to, you know, introduce people locally there to other members and try to facilitate business and introductions and the networking thing and all that. Well, the Global Chamber was kind of founded out of a frustration with that, that said, you know, we could do the same thing, but what if we did it on a global, kind of a global network of people? And this guy, Doug, was a international business guy. He had traveled and lived at various places around the world, and he realized, you know, I probably have 100 people or so that we could start this network with. And the whole goal of the Global Chamber is to work with local chambers of commerce, but in kind of the opposite direction. So if you think of a typical chamber and a company in that chamber that has a product that they can export, or maybe it's a service or a software thing, or there's lots of examples. But the intent and the idea is really to take a local company and help them expand regionally or even globally. So it's almost just as easy to do business with another country or another city, even if they are across an ocean. And so that's really what started this whole thing. It's blown up to nearly 500 locations now around the world. And my role is to help facilitate things in Ohio and, oddly enough, Colorado. And that's where our guest comes from, is Colorado, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So that's the bottom line. We help businesses expand wherever they want to go.
Well, when you talk about that expansion, I'm sure that when you are from the United States and you get the opportunity to engage with other organizations, other companies, and other places, you're able to learn a lot about the similarities and the differences. If you don't mind, kind of share a little bit of your experience and some of those similarities that may have shocked you some as it relates to, we do business this way. I was anticipating business to be done differently in another place, only to find out that it looked eerily similar to what you were used to. Are there any stories like that or situations that you've come across?
Well, I think there's a lot, and a few come to mind right away. And, you know, tequila. So the guy that runs the Global Chamber in Hermosillo, Mexico, his name is Christian. And Christian called me up one day, said, hey, we've got this tequila brand here, and it's big locally. Hermosillo is like, I don't know, is it a million or so people there? And a lot of people have never heard of it, but it's a few hours, maybe a couple hours south of Tucson. And so we started talking about what it would take to get it into America here. And, you know, do we know any distributors and how could we help with that? And of course, there are some differences in terms of distributing liquor. That might, you know, be a one that has some differences in terms of states, right? And, you know, Mexico versus the United States and then the different state stuff. But we know a guy in Miami who is a wholesale distributor of liquor. So I was able to hook the two of them up, and they brought another guy in from Texas, and one thing led to another, and then they crossed the border into Texas and started their distribution there. And that's an example of what we can bring to the table, which is really a collection of resources to help businesses expand. It's kind of this game of who do you know? Who do we know that might be able to help with distributing liquor or selling chemicals in Europe or building a factory in Brazil or something? There's just endless amounts of opportunities there to grow globally. And what we can do about as well as anyone is introduce them to people that can be on their team or add to their team.
How common do you find it to where there's an overseas entity and they're just looking for ways to integrate into the United States, which almost makes the barrier to entry much simpler or easier for a United States-based company to work with one of these companies?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That's the whole intent. How can we make it easier to do business, whether you're exporting out of the United States, or there's lots of companies that are in the United States that are positioned here to help companies that are overseas somewhere, you know, expand locally here. So it really does. It works both ways.
You know, I think that becomes something for me is that when I started working overseas, I found that a lot of the businesses needed structural help in ways that are very similar to what we do here. I think that the toughest part, and really when I say toughest, I'm just only giving it varying degrees of complexity, but really it wasn't that tough, but it was the legalities to figure out when it comes to different, you know, country laws in comparison to what goes here in the United States. But what prepares you for that is that each state has its own set of laws here in the U.S. So if you understand that Florida does things one way, whereas Delaware does things another, well, that becomes really easy to understand that maybe in Colombia, you know, something takes place, whereas in Mexico, it might look a little different. Well, in that case, once you get past some of the cultural realities, business still becomes business. Assistance is still assistance. Talk to us a little bit about some of the relationships that's been forged and how you've been able to leverage them to even see growth in another business.
It's funny you'd think you were teeing up our next guest here. Brady will be on in a few minutes. He's with a really cool company called Velocity Global, and they've won some awards locally in Colorado there in Denver for how they help companies expand. And the particulars around what they do are usually around payroll and setting up entities and companies. So it's kind of a combination, less legal and more financial, but they have the resources to help with all that stuff you just said. And the Global Chamber, for example, usually doesn't delve into the details of those types of transactions. So if we had there was a company that wanted to expand somewhere, Doctor, you might be one of the people we call. Hey, this company's looking to expand in the Philippines. We've got Ben down there. You know, who else do we know that we could start kind of building a team around what it would take for this company to expand in the Philippines? So it's one thing to have the resources, but it's quite another to have the expertise there in the Philippines as well as here, and someone like you that could kind of put a plan together or at least help with that plan, or maybe it's direct that plan and the treatment involved with how to do that, not just to fix it, but how to plan accordingly. So I think you'll get a big kick out of Brady and some of the stories that he has about bringing their services to companies worldwide and how they do that and what they do.
You know, you were talking about, you know, preparation and what preparation looks like when you have the right resources, the right connectivity. I conducted an assessment right before our radio show with a local business owner, and as I was assessing their business and walking them through their business physical exam, we were talking about some of their manufacturing and how their manufacturing is done in Pakistan. And the business owner said, well, I'm going to have to take a trip over there because I need to see exactly what's going on with our manufacturing. And he has not been over there yet. However, before he goes on that trip, it's really important, or it could be very important, let me put it that way, to where he could be ultimately prepared for what he's going to see, what the behavior should be, what the expectations are, and then having a global network would assist him in that, as opposed to having any level of shock by the time he gets there. And I imagine that the Global Chamber is that cushion, if you will, to absorb some of that shock when it comes to venturing into a new country or embarking on a long-term, long-distance relationship with another entity.
Yeah, you know, it can be. And, you know, what's funny about what you said is you think of a birthday party or, you know, maybe a graduation or a holiday or something, and you like surprises and you like gifts. But when it comes to business, it's the opposite, isn't it?
It is.
Pakistan guy doesn't want any surprises over there. So the more preparation, the more forethought, and the more planning, et cetera, that can be done with, you know, people like you or people like this guy Brady, or maybe it's someone within the Global Chamber, to try to prevent that stuff and kind of raise the awareness about what the expectations should be. Super, super helpful.
Well, I think a big part of that is it minimizes risk, and risk doesn't always have to be catastrophic. I know a lot of times when individuals think about risk, they think about risk that will crater a business. But in this particular instance, it's just minimizing where inefficiencies come from. And if you can do that, then you minimize your risk. And the opposite of minimizing risk is increasing opportunities of success. And it's also making yourself more efficient. And so having this network of entities and individuals becomes a measure of efficiency that allows you ultimately to be more effective. And so if you're in textiles or commodities, manufacturing, and you have a supplier that's overseas, well, right now you're already demonstrating that you have a need. Let there become a political scenario, let there become a war, let there become any other reality, and you might need assistance with navigation. And so it becomes really important to build relationships in places where you ultimately have business. And, you know, from a Global Chamber standpoint, what are some of the top requests that come into the chamber when, let's say, for an example, there's a new member?
Yeah, sure. So, and that's what we're all about, is building relationships. So I can give you an example. We had a new member recently join out of Cincinnati here. And once someone joins the Global Chamber, they're a member everywhere. So we tend to refer to them as chapters or local organizations or something. But everybody's got to join from somewhere. So wherever that started from. So Marvin joined. He's a digital transformation specialist. So he's a guy that's out there talking to companies of any kind that have on-premise servers, or in other words, servers that store data for their company that's on-site, on-premise. And there's a significant movement afoot, moving servers from stored on site to the cloud so that they are stored off site, and then you have to manage that connection properly. And there are a lot of advantages of doing that. But that's what Marvin does. So when he joined, he's like, hey, my business could be anywhere in the world. And he does lots of webinars and different services, and he's a great speaker. He's very good in front of the room. And so we just sit down and talk, like, where would you like to have business? Maybe the answer is anywhere. All right, then we don't have to target a specific area. What types of businesses would you like to, you know, who do you typically target in an organization, or who do you spend your time talking to? Is it the IT person? You know, maybe a CIO, or, you know, it could be the CEO, he said. Those would tend to be the main two people. So then we go back to the global chamber and go, all right, well, who do we know that's a CEO of a company that fits his size profile? So he wouldn't be looking for a gigantic company necessarily like Procter & Gamble, because they've already got a team of people that are working on stuff like that. He would be looking for a company more in maybe the 5 million to 50 million range, let's just say. And then we can look at our kind of network and say, well, who do we know that's in that range of kind of a size revenue company? And that's how we target them. So then it's just a matter of, then it's just a matter of saying, of making that introduction. And I think the key to these introductions, as Brady will attest to here in a minute, is when you get two people that actually want to talk to each other. So it's not just a one-way introduction. It's, you kind of vet the first person, you vet the second one, and then offer them that introduction to meet each other. And when you get that double opt-in, you know, that makes a 90-something percent successful call. That much of an introduction is just huge. So that's really the secret to our success, is having willing participants on both sides excited to talk to one another for that reason, for expanding the business, minimizing risk, building relationships, getting there faster. You know, all those things are so important when you're planning on working in another country.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense, especially with someone like the member that you mentioned, and how the work that he needs is important to all businesses that have a server on site, but not just here in the U.S., but any and everywhere. And then how do you work through that, and how do you gain more leverage, more momentum, and more of that market share? It's by working through the relationships that you can build, and the chamber has those relationships intact, so therefore he can piggyback off of those relationships and increase his market share. At this moment, we want to bring in...
through trust, too, if I can throw that in there, Dr. Baker.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's the biggest part about a relationship, is forging the trust. You're 100% correct there.
Yeah, we should ask Brady that same question that you asked. Like, when you join the chamber, what are you trying to get out of it, and how is it helping you and stuff like that?
So, well, without further ado, we want to bring in Brady Welsh, and who is of Velocity Global. Brady, are you there, sir?
Hi, Dr. Baker. I am. How are you today? Hi, Larry.
Hey, Brady.
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show today. And really want to learn, or really have my audience learn, a little bit about Velocity Global, the work that you all do, and then a little bit about your role and function with the company.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's really an honor to be with you guys and the listeners today. Velocity Global is an international human resources solutions company. Our primary service that we offer is called Global Employer of Record Solutions. And what that does is it allows companies to quickly, cost effectively, and compliantly expand internationally through proper payroll strategies. A great scenario, and it was fun kind of listening in advance of calling into your discussion. You know, we really strive to help companies minimize the risk that you spoke of, Dr. Baker, and really leveraging our efficiencies. You know, if you wanted to open office in say Italy, for example, to tap into a certain salesperson to sell the textiles that you're kind of talking about, well, there's a whole process of establishing an entity, making sure you're paying that person correctly, besides just the actual logistics of moving that money around. So an employer record solution, you engage with Velocity Global. We actually hire that person on behalf of our clients, and then through our services agreement, lease that employee back to the company. So it minimizes the risk for our clients who are expanding internationally, because we're actually the employer of record. We're handling benefits compliantly, paying and paying into the social schemes of each unique country. So the business owner doesn't have to worry about that. They just do manage the day-to-day operations of the employee, and then we do all the behind the scenes. Plus, we do global payroll, global benefits, a lot of other solutions, but our core competency is employer of record.
You know, I want to jump in on that. As you mentioned, that you're working through a division of work that is vital to every operation. If you have more than two employees, it's important to manage your human capital effectively, appropriately. I mean, you all are doing that up to large entities, and you're doing that globally. What differences have you seen from organization to organization or business to business when you're comparing them from the U.S. to outside of the U.S.?
That's a really good question. I would say management style is often unique. The benefits are really unique. What people get in different countries, whether they get an automatic 13-month bonus for whichever country they may be in, to the amount of taxes that people pay. The cultural differences are vast, and it's really fun to get to work with a wide range of companies, from small early stage, startups that want to hire a certain skill set, maybe in Eastern Europe for a software developer that they're having a hard time finding in the Bay Area, but they're finding really good, strong, skilled, capable people in other parts of the world, especially in the U.S. right now, where we're seeing, all of our costs of business increasing. We're seeing salaries on the rise as a result of our historically low unemployment rates. If you can tap into other markets and other opportunities, and to get a global workforce that's spread across multiple time zones, that speaks multiple languages, it benefits companies in so many ways.
Well, when you think about the work you do, you've decided to use a SaaS model, software as a system, and as you guys decided to do that, did you build the software out in mind of what global needs you would have, or did it evolve to that point based on the dialogue and the feedback you received?
Yeah, that's an important question. We were not as software focused early on. We were really compliant focused. How do we make sure we're paying our supported employees accurately and timely and in compliance with all the different regulations of the different countries? Earlier in the show, you mentioned, understanding just in the U.S., right, when you do payroll between Colorado and Texas, you've got different withholdings. Well, it's even vastly different when you look at different countries. So we really built the knowledge bank and the skill sets within. And as we have scaled the company, we've embraced technology to make sure that we can be efficient through all of those processes to grow exponentially and provide, best-in-class service to our clients.
Well, Larry, I want to bring you back into this real quick and really learn a little bit about the relationship between the Global Chamber and Velocity Global. How did that relationship start, and then where has it transpired since?
I don't know how it started. That's a great question. It started 3 or 4 years ago in Denver when our director there at the time got to know somehow one of the key people there at Velocity Global. So, Brady, didn't it start in Denver?
That's where we're headquartered. We're headquartered in Denver, Colorado. We have our staff is currently in 52 countries. spread out across the world, and we'd service in 185 countries. But we like to align with like-minded organizations like the Global Chamber. I'm on the strategic partnerships team, so it really works well with me to align myself with meaningful organizations like the Chamber that, you know, bring together a diverse mix of companies that are solving the problems for international business. And it's just a fun way to, you know, network with dynamic business leaders that really all want to help each other. You know, you really have a vested interest in, you know, how can I help, you know, our colleagues, our friends in the Chamber grow their business, either through our own relationships or helping them connect the dots with other companies. So that's what I've gotten out of it so far, is just amazing introductions of just great people that are thinking internationally. And you don't necessarily get that in your local Chamber of Commerce, right? If you're networking in your Rotary, or if you're networking in, you know, whichever state you're in, it's sometimes it's hard to tap into that global perspective that the global chamber brings.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Doctor, the relationship with Velocity Global is a solid one. And basically what's happened is since they joined, they just got deeper and deeper into it. And as their company has grown, and I mentioned their award-winning organization earlier, but they've gained more traction and attention, not just in Colorado, but, you know, where's Ben? Isn't Ben in London? I think I've talked to Ben before.
Currently? No, I think he actually just got back, but he did spend about a month in the UK at Northern.
Gotcha. Well, my point is only that it's so easy to connect with people, whether they're in London or Denver or Cincinnati, is all I'm saying. And with a big company like yours, several people have been involved over the years. And I think, you know, for an organization that wants to be global, every year they tend to get, Doctor, a little deeper in terms of involvement with the Global Chamber, because there are so many possibilities, and not just in America, but anywhere. And so when someone like Brady joins the company, which was within the last year, they tend to be, without sounding too weird about it, kind of in awe of everything that can actually happen, because we're not just a bunch of talk. Like, nobody likes that. It's all about, yeah, we actually know somebody there, and we'll just hook you up with them so we can have a conversation. And most people are like, wait, are you sure? And when you get that double opt-in thing, it's just successful most of the time, 90-whatever% of the time.
Well, Brady, I want to jump back on that same point for a moment, because you all were in existence, obviously, and progressing before you got connected with the Global Chamber. What did relations look like globally beforehand? And when I say beforehand, when you integrated into your first country, what did that look like, if there's any portion that you can share that's not secret sauce in nature, but just from an experiential view for the purposes of our listeners?
Yeah, you know, originally we relied incredibly heavy on our in-country partners, where we identified firms that could help facilitate local payroll for us, while we ourselves went through the process of establishing our entities, meeting those various requirements, and building out, you know, our processes in each given country that we conduct business in. So it's still a relationship business, and whether you get those relationships through affiliations with organizations like the Global Chamber or other networking means, it's still aligning yourselves with the right people, and as you scale, building on your core competencies. So truly, having great partners in the space really helped us grow quickly and efficiently. And as we identified the countries that yielded the most revenue and where we were getting the most traction, eventually supporting, you know, more and more employees, just as we recommend to our clients, when you hit a certain critical mass, at that point, take the time and incur the cost to really scale up an operation, open an office, register an entity, because that's a time-consuming and costly process in many cases. You know, it's not just going on the Secretary of State's website and forming an LLC and you're off to the races, like in most states. There's a lot of cost involved and time involved in these different countries. And that's what we facilitate our clients to do. And, you know, that's how we've grown ourselves.
I want to come back to that point. I'm going to take a break for station identification, but I do want to follow back up on a few points that you made there. But today's segment of Worldwide Wednesday is brought to you by Baysmore Beard Oil. Baysmore Beard Oil is the way for any person looking to grow their beard and to have a better, more quality beard. Baysmore Beard Oil comes in three fragrances, Flight, Nova, and Waves. You can find Baysmore Beard Oil at baysmoreproducts.com. That is B-A-Z-E-M-O-R-E products.com. Today, make it a great gift for someone that you care about, someone that's looking to grow their beard, Baysmore Beard Oil. And if anyone is just joining us right now, we're speaking with Larry Hart from the Global Chamber and Brady Welsh of Velocity Global out of Denver. And we're talking about all things global and all things human capital and all things technology. So once again, if you want to join the conversation, you can at 859-291-2255. And you can talk to us about things that maybe you have thought about from a global perspective or how to even participate globally in the event that you have an interest in doing so. So right back to you guys, we're talking about how, you know, Brady, how you built your business, you know, by having those in-country partners. But even having an in-country partner just seems like a daunting task. Hence the reason why the Global Chamber has always been an attractive organization to me. Because if I'm a new business owner, or maybe I'm not new, I've been doing business for 20 years, but I've done it the same way, and I'm looking to expand and venture out, that could be a scary proposition for me. I may not know where to begin. Maybe I'm introverted and I'm not sure what to do and how to do. I'm going to pose two questions here. I'm going to pose one to you first, Brady, then to you second, Larry. But before you had those in-country partners, what was the catalyst? What was the initiative? What told you that that type of scale, that type of integration was something that would have been attractive for Velocity Global?
You know, I think the business model really came out of seeing how technology was changing the way that people were able to work, and the desire for self-independence, and really being able to walk around with your laptop, whether it was at your office and work from different conference rooms, to taking that laptop and seamlessly working from home, or the coffee shop revolution that we had for a period of time, and really seeing that, you know, technology was empowering the ability for people to work truly anywhere and what that meant. You know, people no longer were tied to their desks, so to speak. And so that was one of the real impetuses of seeing the vision in 2014 as to where our company and our services could go. And then, you know, the pandemic really kind of threw gas on the fire in some respects, where everybody was forced to work remotely. And so we're really grateful that we had a big leg up on some of our competitors that have recently entered the space, you know, where they've seen kind of our wins. So it's been a fun ride kind of forecasting the evolution of the workplace and the workforce.
Well, you know, with that evolution, and that actually leads into the second question I had, but this one pointed at you, Larry, is that with the evolution of the workspace and taking into account that maybe someone's new and they're not sure exactly how to expand their business, or maybe they've done it a long time, but they just haven't operated in that way. How do you then coddle or facilitate this type of thinking and then expansion to allow them to know that there's life beyond just the borders that they're used to seeing? And if they want to scale for long-term sustainability, that there may be some opportunities outside of the way that they currently behave. How do you engage in that dialogue, and what does that look like the first time with a business owner?
I'll give you a live example. So the just the other day, I called to the company wanted to expand in Brazil, and I called down to my counterpart, a guy named Phil. Phil in Brazil, I like to call him.
Which is funny.
Yeah, isn't that great? So Phil's, you know, he's about 60 or so. He's got 40, 30, 40, whatever years of international business experience. He lived all over the world, and he lives now in southern Brazil. So these directors in different countries tend to act as key connectors. So if we said, hey, Phil, we've got a company here. Here's what they do. They want to build a factory. They want to set up a distribution. They want to set up a sales team. Maybe they need some legal help. Maybe they need some HR stuff like what Brady's talking about. And Brady, Velocity Global does more than that and has great insight and connections to some of this stuff as well. In fact, in some cases, we might hook them up with Brady, and then Brady would bring in one of their employees in that country, if that were to be helpful. And so it often starts with the director of the global chamber in that country. We explain what we're looking to do and who we're looking to meet and what we're trying to do, et cetera. And then they typically build a team of two or three or four people to participate on a call with that member. And so before you know it, we got, whatever, three or four or five people on a video call where the member can explain what they're doing to a receptive audience that's there to actually help. And there may or may not be an exchange of money or, you know, these guys on the call, you know, there may be nothing in it for them, but they're part of the global chamber and they do it because, you know, that's what we're committed to doing. And, you know, if one of us can profit on it, then that's great. And maybe the next deal that comes down the pike, you know, the next person can profit on somehow. So when you take the money out of the equation, and really just focus on the introductions and the relationships and the trust and the connections and that, it really, I think you get there faster with less risk, like we were talking about earlier.
Now let's put the money back into the equation, considering that as a business owner, it does not matter what we talk about. If I'm not generating more revenue, if it's not increasing my bottom line, I may not be in business long enough to even implement something else.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at resources or things that we then, you know, select to engage in, how does that become more fruitful for us financially? And, you know, Brady, I want to kick this over to you because you guys have grown your company so much so that you had a successful round funding. But, you know, I understand fundraising, and that just means that more than your business model had to be good, but the execution of that business model had to be really, really sound. And so what has it meant for your company to grow at the scale? And do you attribute a lot of your growth because of what you've done internationally, or was it all domestic and what you've done internationally was just supplemental?
No, I mean, we're truly a global organization and have had an international focus since the inception. Actually, just recently in the last 12 to 24 months through in the acquisition and realignment of some of our processes and business plan initiatives, we are bringing some of it home to the U.S. To provide U.S. Payroll services, U.S. benefits, employment benefits, and also to help companies expand from other countries into the U.S. through our U.S. employer of record model. So much of our initial focus was really how do we help U.S. companies or companies around the world expand into other countries, and we're continuing to grow our business by supporting that in the U.S. Domestically too. I think a lot of our success I'd attribute to having a wonderful board of directors and having great advisors that are aligned with the vision of our company and really getting their input and feedback. And anybody who's listening, whether you have a formal board of directors or an informal group of influencers that you get with periodically to talk through the challenges that you're working with your company. And it can be through a group like the Global Chamber, you know, of expressing the concerns or what's, you know, how to navigate different things. that can really help, inject some steroids into your business and bring in other ideas and some best practices. And that has really been helpful for our organization as well.
Well, you talk about, having a board of directors, a board of advisors. I always recommend that any business owner, no matter the size of the business, and once again, for definition purposes, listeners, we classify small businesses 50 million and under, 500 employees or less, and that's mom and pop shops, boutiques, micro, startup founders, and the like. But even if you're really small, you're a micro or a boutique, there should be some advisors there that are helping you with your decision making, and not just your decision making, but also with your connectivity and reach to resources. And one thing that you're talking about is that your growth was made substantial based on your board of directors and their, I would say, interaction and engagement within the company. Now, if you don't have that, and I'm pointing this back at you here, Larry, is that it appears as if, and I need you to straighten me up if I'm on the wrong page, but it appears as if the Global Chamber is in position to help anyone with understanding how to build out some of those personal resources from a global standpoint. So in the event that you wanted to embark on an international expansion, you would have the connections and the connectivity to build out relationships, or at least connect them with people where they can build relationships to where now they can build some of this international, board type think tank to help them grow. Is that accurate?
It is, and it's because, well, a lot of people don't know how to do that, Doctor. That's the other thing. My grandfather used to say there are people, and there are thing people. So a lot of people, they invent stuff, they create stuff, they're good with their hands, they're good with things. And then other people are good with other people. So my dad is a good example. In fact, he's a good thing person, but I'm a people person. And when you combine the two, and it's really the magic of combining the two into a group setting where you have some of each types in there, that's what it takes to get, to get things done. I mean, I think the world's littered with great ideas that just never materialized because they couldn't get the right team of people together. And just like any team in your favorite sport, it's football season just about, so we can talk about that, or baseball. Everybody on the field has a different role on the team. And when you can bring and impart that kind of thinking, as I know you do through your treatment processes, and help people understand, hey, it's okay not to be good at some stuff. We got this person over here who's really good at what you're not good at. And when you start building off of that, that's when people tend to see, the types of success that they're looking for, because no one's doing it on their own.
Well, Brady, talk to me about, or talk to really the listeners about where you've had the most success. Obviously you guys are truly a global entity, but is there a place that was more favorable either from the beginning or the long term than another?
I think what's fun for me being on our partnerships team and the wins that we have specifically through that team, and I was kind of thinking about a story as a follow-up to what Larry was just talking about with different expansions. We had a client who wanted to expand from the U.S. and open an operation in Guadalajara, Mexico for a tech group. And they wanted to employ 10 to 15 people initially as they opened this office. And to our partnerships, and this can be looked at through board of advisors as well, but through our partnerships, we brought a full team together to assist in that expansion, right? We were looking to solve the human resources equation as to how they were going to hire and pay those people. We brought in a recruiting team that had expertise in Mexico to help them identify and go through the interview process of a pretty select technical skill set of employees. We brought in a global real estate advisor to help with sourcing office space in Guadalajara and negotiating that, and identifying the right submarkets and the right properties. And we also brought in a well-known co-working operator through our partnerships to provide temporary office space as they scaled up those operations. So employee one would have a place to work, until we had the final office space built out. So really looking at a cohesive approach through our partnerships to make it as seamless as possible for this client to efficiently expand and scale operations. And as we built out our timeline, you know, over a 3 or 4 month period to stand up a meaningful operation with 13 employees in Mexico. And that is fun for me. It's great success for our company, and it leverages a great partnership network where we all benefit each other's businesses in supporting our clients.
What has been the most difficult aspect of your international dealings and comparing that to the work that has to be done here domestically?
Well, I mean, just legal nuances is always a challenge, and we have a great internal legal team and have brought on some really great international legal partners to help navigate those various nuances. You know, I think one challenge that I'm really cognizant of is culturally, right? When you have not only a remote work first workplace, right, where everybody is spread out, as I mentioned earlier, where we have our staff in over 50 countries right now. How do you really continue to build on that sense of community and corporate culture that was really easy when the company started in Denver and we had 20 employees, right? And they're high-fiving and you have that camaraderie in the office. But now you're relying on Slack and Zoom and different communication tools to build that rapport and trust and relationships with your colleagues all over the world. And that's a challenge that we've had to be really thoughtful about and do, you know, annual events where we get everybody together once a year here in Colorado. It's coming up in October, which is such a great fun party. It's a whole week of events where we're able to get everybody to come back, or almost everybody to come back to Colorado, to doing a lot of virtual events. You know, recruitment and retention is so key in all of our businesses, especially, you know, it's made challenging in a diversified workforce of having remote employees, and we work really hard to do that so we can keep the valuable employees that we have.
And so with our limited time with you today, if someone wanted to get in contact with Velocity Global for any of the SaaS services or any of the other product lines or service lines that you guys have to offer, how do they get in contact with you?
Thank you for that, Doctor. You know, a great step is to go to our just the Velocity Global .com website. We've got a contact us page. You can, you know, fill out and say, hey, I'm looking to expand into this country. And, you know, we pride ourselves on our response time of getting back to those prospective leads within, you know, the day, ideally within 3 hours. 3 business hours is our turnaround time on our response. Or I'd welcome anybody, any of the listeners, email me directly at Brady Welsh, BradyWelsh at velocityglobal.com. Love to assist in any way we can get you with our team. But the website is a great resource. If you're exploring it, you want to get information, white papers, what does it look like to expand internationally? We'll help guide you through that process.
Fantastic. Well, Brady, thanks so much for joining the show today. We appreciate it. Hopefully anybody out there with human resource needs or wants to look into their technology or how they do work and where they do work, please look into Velocity Global. Obviously, they've been very good at what they've done, and you can learn something from them and or use their services to enhance your business's health, especially in the realm of human resources. So once again, Brady, thanks so much, and I know I'll be talking with you again.
I sure hope so. I've really enjoyed our discussion today. Thank you both, and thanks to the audience today. Have a great week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Larry, as you guys work through the Global Chamber, you know, you're working with companies that look like Velocity Global, and I'm sure that it's not just them. There's so many of them. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, number one, they already had a global presence. You were all able to learn and kind of piggyback off of the work that they've done, to even benefit some of your other partners globally. That seems like that would be a reality. Is that right?
A real win-win, yeah, absolutely, because you could leverage it both ways, right? They're wanting to tap into additional countries. They're looking for clients in some of the countries they might be targeting. And then we can use them as a reference for, as I pointed out earlier, companies are looking to expand into other countries. They're a great place to start because everybody wants to get paid. You kind of mentioned the money thing earlier. I took it out and you took it back in. And, you know, everybody wants to know they're going to get paid. And, you know, that HR stuff may not be real sexy to some people, but, you know, that's a real foundation of the company, and they do it as well as anyone we've seen.
Well, you know, which is fantastic. And, you know, he had made a statement, you know, Brady, that is, about being best in class. Yeah. Well, a lot of people say best in class, but the Global Chamber is in position to see a lot of operations. And as you see these operations, you can compare these operations. And so you truly know who might be best in class, who might just be okay. And that is also a benefit to anyone that's looking for resources.
I think the cream rises to the top, doesn't it? So you may fool someone for a little while, but we're too well connected to not, for those companies that don't truly offer great service and that are the right fit for the Global Chamber, they weed themselves out. It just happens automatically, and I think that's maybe the power. It's kind of like a review on a website. If you go to Target or Amazon or one of these websites, you know, how many of us rely on reviews, whether it's a restaurant or maybe it's a restaurant site and you want us to check out a new restaurant? Well, let's check out what are the reviews first, right? And the Global Chamber kind of automates that system organically.
Well, I think that also doesn't mean that if you don't have it all figured out, if you don't feel like you're a perfect operation, if there's such a thing, that it shouldn't discourage you from joining, because the goal is to make sure that you get better. Right.
Well,
and so therefore,
greatness. Yeah, I say that all the time, Doctor. We're all on a path to greatness. It's just, where are you? How far along are you? Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're starting, and let's talk to that new business owner that says, well, you know, why would I, you know, ever want to participate globally? It's probably because you don't know what you don't know and what you could be doing. And if you found out, you know, really how connected you could be or how easy it could be. And when I say easy, we're talking relative ease, meaning that maybe you don't have to buy new equipment or you don't have to go get more employees, but that you actually have a service or a product that is needed elsewhere. They don't know that you exist and you don't know they exist. And sometimes it is just that easy of just connection. Have you seen that?
Lots of times, sure, haven't you?
Yep. You know, we talk about that all the time, just even with solutions, is that you're not looking in the right place, or you have a certain set of goggles, and those goggles blind you from seeing other opportunity. So someone has to point that reality out to you. And, you know, working through the Global Chamber, you all are seeing that firsthand, where you can say, well, heck, you know, they're manufacturing this, or they're selling this, or they have this technology. And someone was just asking us about that the other day, if they just could find a solution, and you just so happen to be the solution.
Yeah, that's always fun when it's that direct, isn't it?
It is. And then sometimes it comes from the courtship, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, so where you are, you know, you're dating it for a while. You're really saying, okay, let's be intentional about what we learn from one another. Let's share stories. Let's make sure that, you know, I keep you in mind and that it's scheduled out regularly. And it might take 6 months. It could take a year. But over time, because that relationship is there, it sets the occasion and essentially builds a bridge for that interaction to take place. And I'm certain you've seen that as well.
Yeah, I think it's more common, maybe. Maybe it's becoming more common. Is that fair to say?
Could be.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, we'll find out over time, won't we? But I think the journey is what's so much fun in all these processes, whether it's a company like, you know, Velocity Global or one of the smaller ones like you referenced earlier. You know, we're all on this journey. And it's not always somebody's goal to be a Michael Jordan in basketball or a, you know, whoever, Tom Brady in football. But they all want to find their own level of success. And if they can define that, we can usually help them get there.
Well, since you're talking about the help of getting there, if someone wanted to contact the Global Chamber, How can they do so? And if they wanted to become a member, what do they do?
Yeah, so the website is globalchamber.org, and there's all sorts of stuff on there, resources, et cetera. I'm Larry, so larry@globalchamber.org is the email address. And I think one of the really foundational pieces of the Global Chamber is the Thunderbird School of Global Management there at Arizona State, internationally known as a key contributor to global business. And their alumni network, and they have a place set up in, I think, about 15 cities around the world where their alumni group is particularly strong, and they meet organizationally, and they meet to help other alum, and it's a true alumni association. And being able to tap into that as well as the Global Chamber Network has proven to be a true partner. So we appreciate all the work that they do, and that's where our headquarters is at that Thunderbird School.
Well, you know, you talked about a partnership and them being a true partner. That's one of my metrics that I analyze with businesses when I conduct their assessments, is I look at their strategic partners and the strength of those partners. Yeah. And oftentimes I find that business owners aren't sure who their partners are, who they could be, how they could provide value to them, and how could they invest in one another. And learning that and then leveraging that becomes something that I like to believe, and based on experience, based on research, it's more than a belief, is that it's critical for your long-term success. And as you look at the Global Chamber, is that you all are working with so many different global entities that some of them may never become direct clients ever, but they can become partners, they can become ambassadors, they can be just become cheerleaders of yours, if you will. And I'm certain that a part of your work is to foster that behavior amongst all the organizations. So therefore, everyone can know that we're kind of in this thing together to grow our businesses.
That's the intent. You said it. Nice summary.
You know, well, I look at you business owners, and I think, what more is there? What new markets can I tap into? How much more out there is there for me? Is my mission and vision succinct enough for me to recognize an opportunity when it comes across? One thing that I mention regularly is that we have to understand the difference between direction and distraction. And when we're not appropriately constituted, it's hard for us to determine what is a real opportunity versus a distraction that leads us away from where we're ultimately seeking to go. And that's not just for a new business owner. There's businesses that lose their way over time and don't recognize opportunity when they emerge and hit. This is how we see a business that had command of a market, and all of a sudden that business is bankrupt, or that business had to shut down. And that's because they no longer are viewed in their target audience in a way that's substantial. They no longer carry the same value. And as a business owner, you have to have vision. And a part of that vision is seeing the full scope, the range, and the total breadth of how far your company can go. And what we're submitting and ultimately offering is that international work can assist with that. Essentially meaning that you think about having an open mind to other countries, to provinces, then this could become something that you can then leverage for the benefit of your operation long term. Organizations such as the Global Chamber do it in a formal way.
For joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.